This is the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. It's a special day to Christians because that on this day we can serve God, we can worship Him, we can gather as we have this morning. I've enjoyed the singing this morning. I tried to follow the words closely and sing with the spirit and understanding. Appreciated the prayer very much. And I trust as we study this morning that we'll study for the purpose of learning, for the purpose of understanding. The word is to be taught. God commands that. Paul preached on the first day of the week. Disciples gathered to break bread. We find all those things in the scriptures, and that's why we do those things. In our text this morning, there were seven letters wrote to seven churches of Asia. And in this one here, Church of Laodicea, he told them that he would, that they would either be cold or hot or cold, but because they were lukewarm, he would spew them out of his mouth. That shows there that only those that were hot, so to speak, would be acceptable to God. Those who were cold and those that were lukewarm would not be acceptable. Well, what does that mean? What does that teach us? Well, I want to investigate for a little while this morning, talk about some things along that line that we might understand. I've heard people refer to we that believe the Bible, follow the Word of God, want to do what God said, we're referred to as conservatives. And I suppose that's a good term for that. We're conservative because we believe in what the Bible teaches. One who's conservative is one who binds where God has bound while not binding where God is not bound. In other words, we just simply bind where God has bound, nor loosening what God has bound. We don't loose what God has bound. So if God has bound it, then we do it. I would say a coal, one that's cold, is one that oftentimes is referred to as anti. That's a prefix signifying against, opposite, or antichrist. And evidently these were in the church, and there were certain things about the worship or about God or about salvation or something that they might be opposed to. Now, they might not just speak out against it, but their lives would be opposed to it. Well, then we have the third one is that of lukewarm. Well, it seems to me that this would probably mean liberal or is one who looses what God has bound. If I loose what God has bound, evidently I am a liberal. As an opponent of conservatism, and it's free from narrowness in ideas or doctrine, one who advocates extension of freedom. I want you to notice that closely. It's one that would be an advocate and advocates extension of freedom. Let me say very clearly, I believe that we have freedom in Christ Jesus. But that's freedom from our past sins. That's freedom that we might live for Him. Freedom that we might obey Him. It's not freedom from doing His commands or His will. When God commands us to do something, we have no freedom to not do that or change that. When He tells us how to do it and so forth, we have no reason to change that. Oftentimes, we might be referred to as narrow or narrowness. Well, I want to look to Matthew, the 7th chapter, and verses 13 and 14 to begin with, and let's see what Jesus says. Now, this morning, I want you to turn with me, read the scriptures with me, or listen very closely as we study these scriptures. Now, he told them here in Matthew, the 7th chapter, beginning verse 13, "Enter ye in at the straight gate." Now, that word straight there has the idea of hard or something's difficult. For wide is gate, and broad is way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way. Now Jesus said, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Notice here, there's going to be many that go there in about the wide way, the destructive way, but on the other hand, those that are in the narrow way, those that follow Jesus and so forth, there be few that find it. You know what I think about that? Few there be that find it. I think about, first of all, when Noah entered the ark, there was 8 souls that entered that ark. I would like to know, if it was possible, how many people were on earth at that time or living during that 120 years that Noah was building that ark. But there was only 8 that believed Noah. He was a preacher of righteousness, and he preached to those people. On another occasion, we find that there were many prophets, false prophets, and so forth. And those false prophets, many of them destroyed. In fact, Elijah was the only one left, the one. City of Sodom and Gomorrah, they were wicked cities, and there were only 3 people that survived after they left the city. 4 left, but Lot's wife turned back. She was turned to a pillar of salt. Now I want you to notice, out of the 600,000 over 20 years old, only 2 entered Canaan's land or the promised land. So that means a great number of them fell. Now we're talking about people that were in the grace of God. They were within God's children, so to speak, and those people fell. Well, he tells us today then that there'll be many called, a few chosen, and says here that there'll be a few that will find it. Now, one of the reasons for that, let's turn to 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, and let's notice there in the first 4 verses what the Apostle Paul writes unto Timothy. Now, Timothy was a preacher just like many of us are, and this would also apply to those that are teachers. We have a solemn charge here from God. Now, this is here given to Timothy by the Apostle Paul, and Apostle Paul gave it to him through the Holy Spirit, which got the word from Christ and God. It come from God, Christ, and so forth. Notice in verse 1, 2 Timothy 4, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and dead, his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Now that's all I have authority to do this morning, is preach the word. Preach the word of God. Be instant in season, out of season. Now notice what he tells him to do. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Why do that? Now, why does he tell him now to preach the word, preach it in season, out of season, at all times? Now, this means to preach it continually. That is, continually to preach the word of God. Why? For the time will come, Paul says, when they will not endure sound doctrine. Now, the time is going to come when they will not endure sound doctrine. I wonder if that was the case here when John recorded this, the church at Laodicea there, that there was those that would not endure a sound doctrine. They would not accept that. They had become lukewarm and so forth. But after their own lust shall they heap themselves teachers having itching ears, and shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto a fable. Now here's what they will do. They will seek a kind of instruction more comfortable to the wishes and feelings. Now, don't we like something that's more comfortable, instruction that's more comfortable, what we like, what we wish, and actually what we should do? Isn't that true? I'm human, you're human, and there's many things, no doubt, and I know there are, that if I had my own way about it, I would have different feelings, I would have different wishes. But because the Bible says it, I have to do that. Now, I've heard people say, and I've heard of them that saying, well, I'm not particularly fond of that, or if I had my own feelings, I wouldn't do that, but because God's commanded, I'm going to do it. Now, there's where the real test of our faith comes in. We do it through that faith, and what we do, we make ourselves love to do that. We make ourselves want to do that. That's what we've got to do. We've got to make ourselves want to conform to the Word of God. Don't you want to conform to the Word of God? Don't you want to do the will of God? And even though it's against my wishes and against my feelings, against my personal desires, I've got to do that. And we find further They will seek such kind of preaching as will accord with carnal desires and deal gently with their desires. Now, this body of mine, I've got a carnal mind, a body, and I have to be careful because there are certain desires of this body. This body desires certain things. I have to be careful about that, that I don't yield to those desires. Now, for example, I have to be real careful if somebody says something to me that I might not like. I have to be very careful how I answer them, that I don't be too sharp, that I don't say it in a wrong manner, but say it in the proper manner. I have to do that. Other desires that I have, I have to overcome those desires. And so many times, we'd rather do other things than what God would want us to do. So they want the kind of preaching that here will accord with their carnal desires. Now, I don't mind anyone preaching any time the Word of God and what it teaches. I don't mind any time them reading any scripture, whatever it might be, if it be the Word of God. Because even though I might be against my desire and so forth, I've got to accept it because it is the will of God. You know, Paul said, I thought within myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's what he said, and he did. He put saints to death. He thought he was doing good. When Stephen was stoned, they laid their clothes there at a young man's feet named Saul. He thought he was doing right. He had a clear conscience in that matter. Was he right? Was he right? Now, when he repented, when God appeared to him, Christ did, on the road to Damascus, and he was converted, what happened then? He lived a completely different life, preached a completely different doctrine. They said, those people did, that man, why, he come here with letters. He is looking for men and women, no respect to person, men and women, and he was putting them to death. You mean to tell me that that man now is preaching Christ and him crucified? You see, folks, what we're talking about? He made a complete change. He never did do that anymore. He couldn't because he had repented of that, and that's what it is. Now, with that in mind, Michael read part of this, and I was happy he did, in the 10th chapter of Acts. I don't want to notice all that, but that was a good reading this morning, and I want to notice verses 33 and verse 36. Now, here's a man that was a devout man. Here's a man that prayed to God. Here's a man that wanted to do God's will and so forth. And it appeared to him to call for Peter. And Peter come. And Peter asked him, said, I've been told to come. In essence, why did you call me? And here's what he said in verse 33. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. What? All things that are commanded thee of God. Well, Peter opened his mouth. And in that 36th verse, the word which God sent the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. He's Lord of the Jews. He's the Lord of the Gentiles. He's Lord of all. He's governor of all. He's over all. It's him. That's what he told him. No man. No man on earth. Just God, Christ. He is Lord over all. Christ is Lord both of Jews and Gentiles. He's Lord of you. He's Lord of me. He's Lord of everyone. And therefore, we are to obey him. And so we find now that that is very true. Now, often people that are liberal deny the inspiration of the Bible. And I tell you, that really gets next to me. And I say this often because it does. I want to tell you something. God gave this through Christ, the Holy Spirit, the apostles, inspiration and so forth, divinely breathed it into their minds. divinely done that. I believe that God, when these apostles spoke, I believe they were inspired and was put in their hearts what to say. Not only that, I believe that they were guided in how they said it by the Holy Spirit. You know, I believe that we can be guided by the Holy Spirit this morning. I think you can be guided by how you receive it. I can be guided by how I teach it. You see the point? I believe it's inspired. It come from God. And more people began to doubt the Bible, began to question it and so forth. I don't believe that. I believe it's the Word of God, and I believe it's inspired of God. Now, a few scriptures why I believe that. Turn to John, the 8th chapter, and verses 30 and 32. Notice what it says now. John 8, verses 30, 31, and 32. And he spake these words. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. If you do what? If you continue part of my word, or if you continue in your own idea of my word? No, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. Listen, a disciple is a learner or a follower of another. And if I continue in Jesus' words, I'm a learner and a follower of him. You see the point? And so he points that fact out. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What makes you truth? Free? The truth. What is the truth? Well, I'll just read it to you. John, the 17th chapter and verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. What's truth? Thy word is truth. So we cannot deny the inspiration of God. Let me emphasize it again. If I wrote a book, you read that book, and you found an error in it, and you told people, said, Edwin wrote this book, look right here, you see that error? He made an error. Who could you blame besides me? Could you blame one of these brethren or sisters? Could blame any of these children? Could blame anybody here? Well, I'd be the one to blame. And folks, when we say there's errors here, who are we blaming? Folks, this is serious. And the reason I keep teaching these things, going to continue to teach them, is because it's everywhere, and it's creeping in the church. Yes, sir. In fact, there's a commentary that come out in the group that we have that doubts 1 John 5. Three that bear record in heaven, three that bear record on earth. And they say, oh, a lot of the manuscripts wasn't in there, some it was, and we don't know whether it's authentic or not. I'm going to tell you, it's authentic. I don't believe God let that get in there if it wasn't right. What's wrong about it? Aren't you three in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit? You see? See what I'm talking about? And so I don't doubt that. I accept it. I accept it just is. Some of the translations leave Acts 8 and the Ethiopian conversion there out. It's here. I'm going to accept it. I believe it's authentic. You see what I'm talking about? But if people don't want something, they become liberal, and they don't want it there. And you remember now that some of these translations, I'm not opposed to some of the translations. I have several in my house. I use King James and pulpit, but I use others in studying and so forth. I want to tell you, better be careful, because men that wrote it, they want to get it down where those doctrines that they have, they can uphold those doctrines. That's exactly what they want to do. And one of the translations had a Church of Christ preacher in it, and you can read the preface, you can read there, and you'll find out that he withdrew because he saw what it was leading to, and he couldn't practice that, and he couldn't be a part of putting out a book with some of those things in. Take it for what it's worth. Of course, 2 Timothy 3:16-17 said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for instruction in righteousness, and so forth. And so we find that the scriptures are inspired. But you know, liberals want to say, well, part of that, that don't apply today. Yes, I know part of it don't apply to us today, for example, miracles and so forth, but we see in there where they ceased and where all that happened, but that which has not ceased, certainly it still applies. You know, many of them changed God's plan for salvation, past sins. What do you have to do to have your past sins forgiven? Young boys and girls, what do you have to do to have your past sins forgiven? What does the Bible teach? We that obey the gospel, we know, should know. If we don't, we need to make it right because we're wrong. Well, what do we have to do? Do we have to hear? Do we have to know the Word of God? Can you be saved by just placing your hand on television, placing your hand on the radio, just saying, Christ come to my heart? Is that what it says? No. Can we be saved by just faith only, just believing the Lord? Just say, Christ, right now, come into my heart. Let him come to my heart. Saved. Is that what you say? Can we be saved by grace only? And we have a few advocating, very few, but we have a few. And I know of one in particular, advocates, saved by grace, yet he's a member of the church and so forth. Morally good, can we be saved that? We can be morally good about being spiritually good, can't be spiritually good without being morally good. Prayer, praying through, no. I think people pray. Cornelius prayed, he was a sinner. I think others prayed. I think God will help them if they're looking for truth, help them find it, but he don't answer the prayer, and that's not the way they're saved, but how they're saved. Saved by hearing the gospel, believing it, repenting, making good confession, being baptized into Christ. Well, you know, man wasn't satisfied with one church. He wasn't satisfied with one church. The Bible says there's one God, one body, one Lord, all those. But just as sure as there's one God, there's one body, that body's a church, and there's one church. But man was not satisfied then. So man comes along, and from the very beginning, Paul told in 2 Thessalonians that man of sin would come. That would start. He knew Satan was going to start, but Satan always starts gradually. Worked on, and he even told about it and prophesied about it and pointed out that they had finally drift away. Well, they did. About 600 and something, along that area, somewhere between 300 and 600, finally come the Pope, the head of the church and so forth, went along, and the Dark Ages, the church was put down and everything those many years. But after a while, those two testaments, they rose. They come forth. I believe there's been Christians ever since the day of Pentecost when 3,000 were baptized. I believe there's been Christians ever since then. Yes, they had to worship in secret and so forth. But after a while, Martin Luther and some of them, they protested. They pulled off. But what did they do? Established all kinds of denominations. Yes, we have all kinds of denominations. Do we know which one's right? Do we have a way to know whether it's just one? Do we have that? I want to tell you something, folks. I've studied with a lot of people about the one church, and I've never had one yet to say that I was wrong in contending for one church. Now, some of them will try to get around it for saying, well, we're all just one church, but we worship different, we believe different things, you get in different ways, and they tell you all that. But, folks, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that there's one church, and I'll have more to say of that near the close of the lesson. And I want you to keep that in mind, too, that there is one church. Well, God placed man in a creation. He placed him over the woman. I can't change that. Whether I want to or not, I've got to be the head of the house. Whether I want to or not, I've got to make a living for my family. Whether I want to or not, I've got to go ahead and work with them and love them and so forth. I have no choice in the matter. He created a woman to be a helpmeet, and she's got to submit to that husband in the Lord. Let me emphasize that. In the Lord only. Has a great sphere. And I'll tell you, I admire sisters in the church. I admire them. I admire the older sisters set good examples morally to their family and everything. And isn't it wonderful to hear their children say in later years, my parents, they taught me right. My parents done what they should. Isn't that wonderful to hear? And children love your parents because they love you. And so God done that. But man has come along. What does children do today? They talk back to their parents. They sass their parents. They disobey their parents, disrespect their parents, all those things. Yes. Yes, you may not agree with them in older years, but you still, they're your father, they're your mother, and respect them as such. But I'll tell you what, parents, train them up, teach them, let them understand and know what God's will is. So we find now that that has come about. In the church, God said for the women, keep silent. That's all I know. I didn't say it. He said it. Women, keep silent. Does he mean that? Women out here today, pastors, they're over churches right here in Oklahoma City, not Church of Christ know of. But they're over the churches. They're doing what I'm doing this morning. They're standing before the audience and teaching that audience. But the Bible says, I suffer not a woman to teach, I suffer authority over the man to be in silence when he comes to that part of the service teaching. Now that's pointed out. And he told in 1 Corinthians, they're not to usurp authority over the man. But what does man say? Oh, that's that fellow visited me. I worked with him. He went to a church, and they had a woman that was an assistant associate minister, denominational church. He called me and talked to me and said he wanted to make her an elder. I like to fell out of the chair. I thought, man, don't they ever read the scripture? Can a woman be an elder? Can she? What does the Word of God say? You see what I'm talking about, folks? You see what I'm talking about? And I told him the only problem I had, a husband, one wife, and of course he said we'll have to study that again, but he never did. He never did call me back. I told him, call me. Let me know. Let's talk about it further. And you know, that's the easy way out, is just not talk about something. Paul told us to come together. Let's come together and reason. Let's reason on things and so forth. Well, we have those that want to change the way of worship. All I can read about, instituting the Lord's Supper, he took bread, gave thanks, gave them, take, eat, this is my body. Took the cup, gave thanks, gave them, drink ye all of it, they all drink of it, take this, divide among yourselves. How? Doing that. Just doing like I done. But man was not satisfied with that. He's changed that. On the first day of the week, disciples came together to break bread. Very few churches have it every Sunday. Church of Christ does, and I don't know, maybe a few denominations do. Most of them either have it monthly, quarterly, semi-annually, annually. Talked to one fellow one time, he said he don't observe it one time. Been going to that church, went to for years, and it had it one time. What does that mean? You see what I'm talking about? Well, it comes on down now. We all here had instruments of music. People say, well, does the Bible say not use it? Well, we've got 9 scriptures tell us how to sing, and when I do that, that's it. I studied with some on instrumental music just recently, and I put this point to them. I want you to think about it. Yesterday, I didn't do it, but let's put it tomorrow. Let's say tomorrow. It'll really be real. I'm going to order a suit. I want a size 42 extra long. I want a single-breasted jacket. I want a brown. And I want so-and-so. And I give exact what I want. I send that in. They send me back one. It's a size 44 short. It's blue, and it's double-breasted and everything. And I write them back, and I call them and say, wait a minute. I ordered this, and you sent this. Well, you didn't say not to send that. What would y'all think? What would anybody think if they wrote back and said, you didn't say not to send that? I didn't have to. I told them what I wanted. That's all that's necessary. And when God tells us what he wants, that's all that's necessary. You see? But the liberal comes along, and he says, oh, well, we could change just a little bit. And instead of, we won't change at all, but we'll change the color just a little bit. We'll change it just a little bit. Instead of having that shade brown, we've got this other, and so we just send it in its place. Would that be okay? You see what we're speaking of? So we find that that's what God tells us to do. My last point, and I want you to follow me real closely now. What about open fellowship with denominationalism? In the Church of Christ, generally, we do not fellowship people that worship in error or people that are in denominational churches. We just don't do that. Of course, that's drifting away like Satan always worked, and there's getting to be those that claim to be a Church of Christ that now they will. I want you to turn with me. If you've got your Bibles, if you haven't looked at the scripture this morning, I want you to look at this one. 1 Corinthians, the fourth chapter, and verses 16 and 17. 1 Corinthians 4, verses 16 and 17. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. My ways be in Christ. Follow me real closely. The Church of Christ is founded everywhere on the same doctrine. Whether it be Thessalonica, Galatia, Ephesus, Philippi, Colossae, everywhere found on the same doctrine. Jerusalem, Antioch, name it. It's found on the same doctrine. They are bound by the same law. They are fitted to produce and cherish the same spirit. That's the purpose. The same doctrine that was required in Ephesus or Antioch or Corinth, wherever it might be, was required in Jerusalem. What was required in Jerusalem was required everywhere else. Each one of them is all required. Now follow me closely. That same is required for the church at Edmond, 21st Street, Irving, Little Rock, Cincinnati, Tallahassee, Arvin, everywhere. Just like it was in the early days. Same is required everywhere. You see the point? It's required of all of us. Paul told one church, Colossians, said, when this epistle's read there, cause be read in Laodicea. So it's for everyone. And I want you to know, folks, all these epistles are us. What he told the church of Corinth to do, he told the church at Oakwood to do. What he told the church at Antioch to do, he told Oakwood and the other to do. He tells us all that. You see what the scriptures say? And that's what I'm talking about. So, this morning, am I a conservative? Or am I a liberal? Or am I cold? Am I hot, lukewarm, or cold? Now, he tells me to earnestly contend for the faith earnestly contend for the faith. Why? Because everybody's to earnestly contend for that faith. That's the word of God. Now, in 2 John 9:11, turn over there. 2 John, verses 9 through 11. Whosoever transgresseth, what? Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Does God have one doctrine for Jerusalem, one for Corinth, one for Ephesus, one for Oakwood, one for Auburn, California, just name it? No, the same doctrine. If I don't abide in that doctrine, folks, I don't have God. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. So if I abide in that doctrine, I have both the Father and the Son. If they're coming in unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not in your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. What? Don't even bid him Godspeed. I was knocking on doors one time, the lady come to the door, told me, said, oh, said, I'm a preacher. And I said, well, I'm always glad to meet preachers. I said, oh, yes. Said, we have things common. We help one another. I said, well, I got a couple of scriptures I'd like for you to help me with. 1 Timothy 2:11, 12, 1 Corinthians 14, 34, 35. I said, well, I said, let me see. I don't quite remember what they say. Well, I jogged their memory of what they said. I quoted them to them. Said, I got a book back here to tell you. Said, let me go get that book. But she couldn't find it. But here's the point. She said, well, even though we don't agree, she said, I sure hope you have a good meeting. Sure hope you have a lot of people come and gain a lot of people. She was bidding me Godspeed, but she don't believe my doctrine. You see what he tells us not to do? Don't bid them Godspeed, folks. Okay. It hit me a scripture the other day. I've been reading through the New Testament quite some time, and some time back it really registered on what it said, and that's Acts 24 and verse 14. Would you turn over there, Acts 24 and 14? Acts 24 and 14. Paul here has been accused of a lot of things, and he stood before Felix. And Felix has told him, you know, that when he has convenient season, he'll call for him. But notice what he says now in Acts, the 24th chapter and verse 14. But this I confess. What? But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. You know what Paul's saying? That which they say is heresy, that they say which is error, wrong, or whatever it might be, I confess that that's the way that I worship. I want you to think about that. Paul said, I confess that. That's the way I worship. Paul, in essence, saying, I've taught you there's one church. I've taught you how to observe the Lord's Supper. I've taught you how to be saved. I've taught you all those things, and I confess to you that I do that. Will you confess this morning that you're a conservative, that you believe the Bible, you bind where the Bible binds and don't loose where it's bound? I want to confess this morning that I agree with Apostle Paul here. I make my mistakes, and I don't think I'm perfect. I do things I shouldn't do. I'm human. But I've got a God that's told me to forgive me. But I just simply want to confess that I just believe the Word of God. I just believe what it says. I believe we should, don't you? Now, let me say this. This to be done in love. And don't you know I love people? I love every person here this morning, and I'm really happy you're here, and I'm interested in your soul. And that's the reason I tell you, anytime you want to, call me. Ask me a question. Don't think it's too silly or too foolish or I'll jump all over you. I've talked to a lot of people here. They know that I don't do that. I will tell you what I believe the scriptures teach, and I'll use the scriptures. But I love you, and I love people. But I want to tell you something. If you are in sin, and I don't correct you and you die, I don't love you. Don't you think about that? And I'll tell you something. If you think I'm wrong right now, and you think I'm going to be lost, you don't love me if you don't come tell me. Come to this book and tell me you don't love me. Don't you think about that, folks? We're to have true love. Now, that true love is that. And I try to tell people when I preach and so forth that I do that because I love them. Over the years, when I've held meetings, I've had people get mad at me. Later years, I've had them come to me and tell me, I'm so glad you taught me. I would have never known that, but it said, I don't know what it is, but it said, as I got older, I see what you was teaching was right. Well, why did I teach it? Because I love him. Now, this may not have effect this morning, but if 10 years from now this has some effect, it'll be well worth it. Because I just taught you Bible this morning, what it says. Because there's somebody, folks, that's lukewarm. And he's going to spew them out of the mouth. And I trust it's not you. And I trust it's not me. You've been a good audience. I believe you're good people. And I wasn't preaching this to no particular individual. This is just a general sermon. As Paul said, I preach it everywhere. I preached down at Irving this past Lord's Day. I preached on the reign of Christ. I preached that here. I preached it there. And then that evening, I preached on the Godhead. Things are preached here. Preach everywhere. As I traveled over the years, preach the same gospel everywhere. Study your Bible. Pray daily. Love the Lord. Put him first, and when this whole world ends, I don't know when that'll be, you'll be prepared to meet him. If you're here this morning, you're not a member of that church. You're not in a saved condition. I want you to know we're interested in you. We love you. We want you to obey the gospel. We want you to become a child of God. We want you, if you should die, that you'd be prepared to meet God. If you've heard the word, if you believed it, if you would repent of those wrongs, make a good confession, I believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God. Be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of sins. Why don't you do that? You've been thinking about it. You know you're accountable. You know that you'd be lost if you die in your present condition. Why don't you come this morning? I'll take your confession. One of the brethren will baptize you. I'm not physically able to, but I baptized many people in the past. But there's several brethren here that would. Why don't you come this morning? Why don't you leave that old world of sin and come to the Lord? If you've done things of public nature, they're wrong. You feel like you're wrong. Just simply say, I've erred, I've wronged. We'll pray with you and for you. Or if you just like the parish church, it might be stronger. Whatever it might be, won't you come? Paul, stand. Paul, sing.